Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This is a Locker Room production.
All right, so let's get started. So welcome, guys. This is our first time doing a Believe in Miami Heat podcast live on the Locker Room app. So it's a little bit different format than what we've used before. We've got a room full of Heat fans, excited to be with Norris tonight. I'm your host, Sean Rochester. With me, as always, we have our 6'2 point guard from Dayton Dunbar High School, Norris Cole. Norris, before you start, I know you're going to, you know, you always welcome us with the champions here, but I was doing a little research this week, and I don't think people really understand how much of a champ you are. Two-time NBA champ, two-time high school state champ, Horizon League champ at Cleveland State, multiple championships over in Europe. Did I forget any?
You did a pretty good job. You did your research pretty good there, buddy. A couple conference championships at Cleveland State.
So I didn't want to take away your thunder from the champions here. I don't want to, you know, ruin the introduction that we're so famous for. But I want to make sure people understand that we're not just talking a one-time champ or a two-time champ. We're talking, like, multiple time throughout the life champ.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the champ is here! The champ is in the building! That was a cool intro, Sean. I appreciate that, brother.
I love it, man. So before we get started this week and catch up with Norris, we do have to give a shout-out to our sponsor, BetOnline, this month. This month in June is heating up with a ton of exciting sports action, and BetOnline is where you can find it. Basketball and hockey playoffs, the baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the first tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Norris, so what's going on in your world?
Right now I'm preparing. I have a game tomorrow in France. I got two more regular season games. And so I'm just preparing for that. Last game we won, I had 20 points, 16 minutes, blowout win. Hopefully we can duplicate that performance.
Nice. So I'm actually in Utah right now. I've been over here for a couple of days doing some hiking. So that's kind of why we switched up the format. So I'm out here with a couple of friends, six friends. We've been hiking in the mornings. It's like 110 in the afternoon. So it's a little wild experience being out here. I've never been out here before.
Oh, yeah. Utah is nice. Got the mountains out there. Obviously, the basketball is at another level. They love their teams out there.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of Utah Jazz stuff. I haven't seen Dwayne Wade out here. I don't know, I'm sure it's a little. Some people are a little salty about that, just being the new Wade County. So I don't know. Tough with that.
Miami always business. Be Wade County. Miami always be Wade County. Don't worry about that. That was business.
Perfect, man. So let's jump in, and I just want to remind really everybody, Norris and everyone, how Locker Room works. So right now we have myself and Norris on the stage. There's a lot of you guys in the room. Feel free to jump in the chat. You can ask questions in the chat. You can also request to speak. We can put you on the mic. You can speak live using your mic if you want to do that. We are going to run the show very similar to what we normally do. So we have a couple topics that we talked about over the past week. We're going to do a couple things related to the Heat. We're going to look at the final eight teams, actually the final seven teams remaining now, and you know, go through just like our normal show. So if you guys want to jump in, just request, and I can put you on the stage and let you guys, you know, bounce some questions off the champ. So let's jump into the Heat. You know, talking about the past week in the Heat, obviously with us not playing, we're looking at offseason. There's a lot of rumors and things going on. But one thing that stood out, Chris Bosh has been doing a lot of tours of media, podcasts, and things like that. And, you know, I think Norris is working the phone lines, trying to get Chris on our podcast coming up soon. And so Chris talked about the Big Three Heat, and Norris was obviously a member of those teams. And he talked about how he would take the Big Three, the Heatles, over this year's Brooklyn Nets. And I know Norris asking you this question, you're not going to pick against yourself, but what would you think if we could put this hypothetical matchup together, the 2021 Brooklyn Nets against, let's say, I'll let you pick, which of those Heat teams you think was the best? How would that shake out?
Which team was the best? It's hard to say which one was the best. I would probably have to say the back-to-back team might have been the best, probably, when we won back-to-back. I would probably say that one was the best team. It's hard to say, though, because both teams were really good. But definitely I would take our team over the Big Three of the Nets now. Obviously, I believe it would be a competitive series, but you know, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, obviously the Big Three, but the role players, I believe our role players were just so professional and always rose to the occasion, especially in big games. I like our chances against any team, honestly.
Now, in that hypothetical matchup, you would probably assume that between you and Rio, you would be drawing the cover of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, the same way we had to guard Russell Westbrook, Tony Parker. During the season, we had Rondo and Steph Curry. And I mean, it was good guards back then. Kyrie was a little younger back then. But yeah, I mean, we took the challenge regardless of who we had to guard. So yeah, he would just be the next guy we would have to try to cover.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, the role players usually stepped up and embraced that challenge. That's a tough cover for anybody. And you guys, you know, you brought the defensive competition or the competitiveness on defense, both you and Rio, to go at a guy like that. But, man, the matchup, imagine, you know, that's basically prime Dwayne Wade against James Harden in his prime. You've got KD and LeBron, you know, both in their primes in this hypothetical matchup. Bosh might be the interesting – they don't really have a cover for him. I mean, you could put Blake Griffin there, but prime Bosh against this year's Blake Griffin is – that's a tough matchup.
Well, technically, there's no cover for LeBron or D-Wade either.
Well, yeah.
Or Chris Bosh. It's just that, you know, Kevin Durant is obviously a very talented offensive player. And, you know, James Harden, is, you know, his playmaking ability and scoring ability, and obviously Kyrie's, but I think we would have the better players in the series, and I believe we would have the better role players in the series. You know, that's just my opinion. And, you know, like I said, as a competitor, I like my chances against any team you put us up against.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew when I asked that question that that's the route you were going to go. There was no way that you were going to back down or, you know, even in this thing that's never in reality going to happen. And you know what? I think as a – not even just as a Heat fan, as a basketball fan, I still think I'd take the Heat. And one of the things that is interesting, and we'll get to this later, is talking about the Nets. They're struggling with injuries. And it's happened again with now Kyrie is out in Game 5. And yeah. The Heat – you know, through that stretch run, you didn't have a lot of injuries. I mean, there were never those significant injuries. I mean, guys battled through things, but we had a lot of guys that were very durable, especially during the playoffs.
Yeah, we did. You're right about that. But we had some injuries. Remember when Chris Bosh hurt his pulled his abdominal muscle? We had to play a long stretch of games without him. And then we also had to deal with, you know, sometime D-Wade, you know, had to get his knee drained and he would have a lot of knee soreness. And so, you know, we had to deal with our share of adversity, but part of being a championship team is being a little bit lucky and being healthy at the right time. And that's just part of it. And it sucks to see the injuries, you know, for any team. But since we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, it sucks that, you know, Kyrie is hurt and James Harden are hurt, because as a basketball fan, you want to see the best players out there. And they're two of the most entertaining guys to watch. And so, you know, I wish that those guys could be healthy and play. But yeah, on our team, we were blessed to be healthy at the right times. And when guys were not healthy, the role players, you know, filled in and stepped up big.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a couple people that are requesting to jump on the mic. So Luke, I'm going to throw it to you first, and then
hold on one second.
Okay,
1 second. For those who stepped on the mic, make sure we keep it respectable.
Absolutely. So let's keep it. Remember, this is going on our podcast, and so not only to save me the time of editing, but just one of the things that both Norris and I try to do, even when we're recording, is, you know, we refrain from cursing, keep it respectful. We keep it honest. You know, we hold people accountable when we're talking about basketball, but also we keep it respectful the same way. So I appreciate Norris reminding everybody of that. And I know Luke is not going to give us a problem with that. I know Luke pretty well. So Luke,
yeah, I got nothing but respect for you, Mr. Cole. Thank you so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, a thing that a lot of people have been saying about the Brooklyn Nets this year is that defense isn't important as long as you have the offensive firepower that they have. But you were always a fantastic defender. So, when playing with the Heat, how do you think that would factor into the matchup, and what are your thoughts on defense in general in today's league and the importance of it?
Are you talking about matching up against our team, the Heat, or are you talking about matching up against the Bucks?
Matching up against the Heatles.
Oh, okay. Well, defense obviously always plays a key. I think if you look in NBA history, I believe every NBA champion was a top 10 defense, if you look through the history of the game. So obviously defense plays a key, especially during the era in which I played, which is not that long ago, you know, but the era in which I played, the teams that could get stops, you know, were the more dominant teams. But this era of the NBA now is more of a offensive league, and the rules have made it that way, which is one of the reasons why Brooklyn is so dangerous, is because, you know, you can't play as physical with them. And that's why I believe that, you know, if they were healthy, they would probably be the favorites to win it all. But against us, I believe we were just a more physical team. I believe we have a lot of defenders who could defend multiple positions. And I believe our mental toughness, you know, was second to none. So whatever circumstance we were being in, we believed that we could come through. You know, the same way we were able to come through being down 5 points with 18 seconds left to come back and win against the Spurs. You know, the same way we had to battle to come back in the series against Boston. The same way we had to battle and come back against the Pacers. We were just a mentally tough team. And the same way against Oklahoma City when we lost the first game. And then we came back and won 4 straight. You know, our team was just mentally locked in, and everyone knew their role, and everyone was excited to play their role. And that's why I like us, you know, in that matchup.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Tony, Twisted Tapioca, I'm going to send it to you next. As I said in the chat, before we move into that next segment after Tony's question, we're going to talk a little bit about free agency. We've done a little bit in our previous podcast, but if you guys have any names of, you know, potential free agent signings for the Heat, obviously we are, you know, we're going to talk hypothetically here, but we'll jump into those. So if you have any ideas of names, just throw those in the chat, and I'm going to throw it to Tony for his question.
Yeah, first time, long time. Sean, it's good to see you. I hope you're doing good in Utah. Coltrane, champ, it's good to talk to you.
I appreciate you.
I wanted to know, let's take it back to OKC. Let's take it back to that first chip. After that, you guys have a game over in China, and you go on a little vacation across the sea. I know we got to keep it PG for the pod. Is there any stories, Norris, that stick right out, like any flashbulb moments about your time you spent on that trip across the Atlantic?
Not really. In China, the biggest thing was, you know, guys were thinking about getting authentic Chinese food. Then we realized we couldn't do that because we would end up being sick because we're not used to, you know, the real authentic Chinese food. And so we had to, you know, a couple staff members and, you know, people who were able to bring some of their families on the trip, you know, got sick who ate that, you know, who ate some of the food out there because they weren't used to it. And so, you know, we had to really watch what we were eating out there, you know, because we still had a job to do. But going to see the Great Wall of China was a very memorable moment, seeing the beautiful architecture out there in China. It was nice to see the history out there. You know, they're beautiful basketball fans, and they treated us very well.
Well, that's good to hear. I'll leave you guys to it.
Curtis was next. Curtis, one more, and then we'll start getting into those.
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. I really love the pod. Really, really excited for the content that y'all have been putting out. Thanks for opening up for questions. You know, I've been a Heat fan since the 90s and those storied battles with the Knicks. And Norris, during your time there, I think one of my favorite regular season moments was when all my Knicks fan friends were getting really hype about Jeremy Lin. And then they rolled right into the buzzsaw Miami Heat and yourself and Rio's defense. Can you talk a little bit about how y'all responded to that kind of hysteria around Lin? Was it intentional how y'all showed up at, like, defensive buzzsaws and kind of what went into one of my favorite regular season moments from that year?
Well, that was great. You know, obviously the rivalry with New York and Miami was – you know, even before I was, you know, playing with the Heat, that goes way back from when, you know, Pat was in New York and then came down to Miami. So, you know, that energy was in the building. And then obviously, you know, Lin Sanity was tearing the league up, you know, for a couple weeks. But for us, everywhere we went, it was hype. So the hype never bothered us. We were used to playing big games. You know, every game we played was a big game. Every network in the world was watching every single game we played. So, you know, that it wasn't so much of being amped up to, you know, we was amped up for every game. It was just that was the next game. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, Lin Sanity didn't run crazy on us. That was the thing. We just wanted to make sure Lin Sanity didn't run crazy on us. But it didn't matter that it was New York. It was just that it was the next game. You know, obviously it was a nationally televised game, and we wanted to make sure we put on a good performance, you know, and put the world on notice that, you know, when you come to play us, you know, it's all business.
Right on. Thanks.
Absolutely. That was an exciting game.
Yeah, I love that game. Wayne, one more, and then we'll jump into the free agent.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks again, Sean. How you doing, Norris?
What's going on?
Man, if you're good, I'm good.
I'm great.
Question, man. I'm big on helping the young guys, and I'm a Wizards fan, but I love always tell people I love what y'all, you know, what they did down there in Miami with the culture. Mm-hmm. How important was it to have like a mentor and an OG like UD down there? Not only for your betterment, but like the mentor for the team, because I know he kept y'all solid a lot. So can you just talk to that for me a little bit?
Yeah, man. I believe it's very important to have veterans. To have, like you said, the OGs. I was fortunate. I had Juwan Howard.
Yes, sir.
You know, he was the first person to pick me up and bring me to practice when I got to Miami. I had, like you said, UD. I had James Jones. Shout out to James Jones, who's, the GM out there at Phoenix. We called him Champ. I had Shane Battier. He was right there. His locker was right next to mine. Obviously, LeBron, D-Wade, CB, Ray Allen. You know, Mike Miller. I had a bunch of basically the whole team were a bunch of OGs. And so I think that's important for any young player to latch on and gather as much information on and off the court, you know, from the veteran guys, because it'll help you have a long career and you won't have to make the mistakes that they made. They could teach you and help you avoid those mistakes. And I think the NBA needs to continue to keep that in mind. I know the league is going very young, but you got to have those vets. You know, those vets on the team are so valuable. And, I mean, I appreciate UD like no other, you know, and I really appreciate, you know, Juwan Howard, man, for how he,
you know, he really looked out for me when I first got to Miami and kind of showed me the ropes, man. So shout out to the OGs for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Sean. Keep up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. You know, before we transition into the free agent talk, along that same line that Wayne was just talking about with UD, you know, he has a decision to make. And he's, you know, 41 years old now, and he's been on the team but not playing. And Norris, you know, I think Heat Nation certainly appreciates Udonis. There's no doubt about that. But there are some people that are starting to get, you know, the buzz of, is he – I don't want to use the word wasting a roster spot because I don't believe that's true, but him taking up a roster spot, is his value in the locker room enough? Should he be a coach? He responded, you know, why can't I be an owner? Which I thought was also very interesting. What do you see, you know, his value isn't necessarily in the game on the court. His value is on the sideline, in the practice, you know, the mentorship that you just talked about. What do you think about that on that topic of Udonis?
I believe he's done so much for the Miami Heat team and the Miami Heat community and for the city of Miami that I believe he should be able to go out on his own terms. And like he said, why can't he be an owner? You know, don't limit him to just being a coach or a player coach or whatever. I think whatever he wants to do, you know, he has the capability of doing it. But, you know, he's invaluable, man. He truly is. And, you know, when you speak of Miami Heat, you know, that's one of the first faces you think of. And so, you know, I think he should be able to go out on his own terms. Obviously, he can still play. He's in shape. He's strong as ever. And but, you know, he knows his role in the team, and he's excited about that role, and he accepts it. And I don't believe that he's wasting a roster spot. I believe that, like I said, having that veteran on the team, having multiple veterans on the team, you know, who can also compete if need be, I believe that's important.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Hey, you know, one of my favorite Udonis stories, and I know Tony in here has heard this before, but I worked in the summer times with Tony Fiorentino in the Heat basketball camps. And mm-hmm. So it was the summer of 2003, and Udonis had just signed, you know, that first time trying to make the team, summer league, and he came in, and the camp was at South Broward High School. And came in, and there was a parent that complained to Coach Fiorentino about, you know, why didn't you get any real Heat players to come in this week? Like, I wish you could have that on video and they could play it on the Jumbotron, because, like, think about how crazy that is now, 20 years later, that they were offended that Udonis was the player that they brought that week. He wasn't a good enough Heat player or a real Heat player. Like, he is the realest Heat player in history, potentially, you know? It's crazy.
But yeah, that's crazy. I bet they wouldn't say that now.
No. All right, so let's move into some free agent talk. So let's just throw some names out there, and if you guys want to jump in the chat and suggest any other names, obviously, you know, we have some decisions to make with our own free agents, but just look around the league a little bit, and let's start with Kyle Lowry. So what do you think, you know, is Kyle Lowry a fit in Miami, you know, position, obviously a point guard, coming off a season of 17-5-7. He is 35 years old, but he did shoot the ball really well this year. What do you think, you know, his fit or the potential of him coming to Miami might be?
I believe he could potentially be a fit because he's hard-nosed. He's a champion. He's been through the wars. I believe he could possibly be a fit, you know, depending on the other moves that's out there. I do believe that he could definitely fit into the Heat culture. I believe he has the physical makeup, he has the mental makeup, and obviously he has that championship DNA.
Okay, let's not go too deep into, you know, the financial talks. We'll leave that to Andy Ellisberg. Right. But, you know, Kyle Lowry, veteran point guard, has a relationship with Jimmy, champion, you know, a few years ago. But there's another free agent point guard that's out there. He's a restricted point guard, though, and that's Lonzo Ball. What do you think, you know, about his fit? And then if you're thinking between the two and how this team is constructed, would you prefer a veteran or would you prefer, you know, Lonzo is only 23 years old coming into the league so young. And what do you think about Lonzo, but what do you think about the fit for him?
Obviously, Lonzo brings more than just scoring to the table. He brings rebounding, assists, and defense. You know, he's a young player, young, talented, up-and-coming player. I believe it depends on what's, you know, what style of play they're looking to play, and you know who they're going to have around him, because obviously we need, you know, this year we needed more scoring, and so obviously he's a great assister and he's a capable shooter, but sometimes it could be a little inconsistent. So like I said, I believe he can fit, but it's also going to depend who else you're going to have around him, because he's going to need some shooting around him.
Yeah, he does a lot. I mean, Kyle Lowry does a lot too, but just the size difference, you know, Lonzo being 6'6".
Yeah, man, Lonzo's 6'6", yeah.
Yeah, and he's a better shooter. A lot of people don't understand. He's improved tremendously since his, you know, early years in L.A. on shooting.
Absolutely.
He shot, I'm looking it up, he shot 38% from three this year. And that's, you know, it's
that's
borderline.
A average.
Yeah, exactly. It's he's not an average shooter. He's trending on becoming a good to even maybe a potentially great shooter.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's three-point shot got better and better as he stayed in the league. But he can also rebound and assist and do those other things. That's what Lonzo Ball kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, and his size would make him fit with our, how much we switch, you know, the length that he has, you know, his versatility on defense. That's and Kyle can do that too. I think Kyle, not because he's not as tall, but the strength that he has. Obviously, his lower body is just, you know, he's a bull, and he's not going to back down from a bigger player. So you can switch him, and he'll fight through it too.
Yeah, he's crafty. He's very crafty.
Yeah, that's like the nice way of talking about his flopping, I think, right? We won't touch that. We'll move on. Moving on.
Moving on.
So one of the things that we talked about in a previous show was I asked you a question about if you would focus on one need. Would it be a point guard? Would it be a big? And you said it would be a three-level scorer. Norman Powell. He's a guy that has a player option, but it's only $11 million. So likely at 28 years old, he's going to opt out of that and try to get some money on a long-term deal. 17 points a game. He had 19, almost 20 points a game when he was in Toronto before he went to Portland. He's one of those guys that seems to fit the bill of a three-level scorer or an explosive scorer. How do you see him fitting?
Man, no offense to him, but man, there's some other free agents out there that you're missing out on, man. When you start talking about scoring, three level, DeMar DeRozan is an unrestricted free agent, man. Kawhi Leonard got a player option. You got some guys that's really, you know, that can really, really fill it up that's out there. Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, hopefully Victor Oladipo will get back healthy. But, you know, Norman Powell, nothing against him. He could definitely play in the Miami Heat culture. He's tough and all that. But I'm talking about when I say scoring, we need some elite scoring. You know, to try to help, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam out of Bayou get to the next level.
So one of the names that you mentioned is DeRozan, and some of the, I guess, the feedback on him is he's never really been a three-point shooter. He lives in the mid-range. Does that worry you at all about the fit with him and Jimmy and Bam? The fact that that would be your three best scorers. They don't really shoot the ball from the outside well.
No, I wouldn't be concerned with that, because if you notice, you know, during these playoffs, the best players all have mid-range scoring capabilities. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Middleton, even Kevin Durant. These are all mid-range killers. You got to be able to score there in the mid-range, especially when the clock is running down, short shot clock, and you have to create a shot. Most of those shots are going to come in the mid-range. And so, you know, I wouldn't be worried about that. DeMar DeRozan is a prolific scorer. His career numbers as far as scoring the basketball, he's like a professional scorer. And so I wouldn't be concerned about that. Obviously, you will still need to bring in some, you know, some spot-up shooters. But, you know, his ability to be so dynamic of a scorer, I wouldn't be concerned with that. Me personally, I wouldn't be.
All right, before we transition out of that, so if we were to add – let's say we add a Norman Powell or a DeMar DeRozan, or, I mean, Kawhi Leonard would be an absolute, you know, dream.
Man. Hey, that would be unreal. You know, Pat Riley ain't shy about going for the big fish. We not going to sit on our podcast and go, you know, not go for the big fish either.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, if we can, if he wants to be in Miami, you do whatever it takes to bring him here. And we've seen Pat do that, whether it was, you know, that 2016 that he assembled with, I think it might still be the largest trade in NBA history with the Antoine Walker and all that stuff. And absolutely, obviously bringing the big three Heat together in the complementary pieces. He's never afraid to do that. There's a couple of great points in the chat I want to point out. Gad, he's from Five Reasons Sports, talks about that DeMar DeRozan was the number one ISO scorer in the league on two or more ISO possessions per game. So as you said, Norris, he can score. He's done it his whole career. Some people don't like his game, but if there's any doubt in anybody's mind, he can put the ball in the basket. There's no doubt
about that. Absolutely, with the best of them.
And what I was going to kind of hint towards is if you added a DeRozan or a Tim Hardaway Jr. or a Powell or, you know, like a two or a three, what do you do with your starting lineup? You know, let's assume that Duncan Robinson is back before we get too deep into this. How do you construct your lineup? Because now you would have, let's say, well, we still don't know who our point guard would be either. That's, I kind of tricked myself into something now. So, you know, can you play a Jimmy or a DeMar DeRozan at the four?
Well, you always got Jimmy Butler out there on the court, so you always have a point guard. Jimmy can do it all. So, true. And you don't want those two to play long minutes at the four, but they're capable, you know, in this NBA of being able to play at the four. But not for long stretches. I wouldn't play DeMar DeRozan at the four for a long period of time.
But in like a closing lineup type of situation, end of the fourth quarter, you could get away with it in that time.
I don't know. I mean, you have if this hypothetically, you say you have Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, and let's say you have a.
Well, let's give us Kyle Lowry.
Whoever you. Kyle Lowry, that's a good lineup right there. Depending on who you have, you know, coming off the bench, you know, that's a solid lineup right there. You know, it's going to be hard to contain that lineup offensively in the Eastern Conference. That's a competitive lineup, especially with the rotations that, you know, Spo is going to have to go with that lineup. But I believe though, if you were to have that type of situation, you can just put Jimmy at the one. If you want to add another four, a traditional four or a stretch four, you can move Jimmy at the one if you wanted to, you know.
Yeah, and I think your lineup versatility is important, being able to slide guys around rather than having, you know, single position type players that fit. You know,
you
can do a lot of different things, whether, you know, we started to see at the end of the season, maybe a little bit too late, the playing Dwayne Dedman next to Bam, where we only really played Bam at center most of the season. And, you know, we did things last year with Kelly Olynyk in the lineup or Myers Leonard in the lineup and different ways of moving guys around. I think that's important because as you're seeing in the playoffs, the ability to match up, but also the ability to force your opponent to match up with you is probably critical to winning not just, you know, a playoff game, but a playoff series and going down that line.
Versatility is a great problem to have. You can never have too many versatile players on a team. And so the scenario you just had is a great problem to have, to have so many capable players and trying to figure out how to put them in the game. That's the better problem to have than to be limited and not have the players that you necessarily need.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's move into the other series still going on. So we had an Elite Eight. We do have one team out, so it is only actually an Elite Seven at this point. And the Nuggets were swept by the Suns. And we want to give credit. I know you want to give credit to former Heat James Jones.
Absolutely. Shout out Chant. Oh, man. 3-point Chant. I mean,
so what did you see in that series? I never would have guessed that it would be a sweep. I thought the Suns would win, but I was thinking more of the gentleman sweep type deal. What did you see in that series? Because it was just Suns dominance.
I saw a couple of things. One thing, you saw how much Denver missed having Jamal Murray and Will Barton out there. Because the higher the level goes, the higher the level players you need. And
obviously Jamal Murray is a big time performer, and also Will Barton. And so the first series, Denver, you know, was able to get through Portland without them. But, you know, when you're going against the two seed and you're going against another elite young backcourt, up and coming team, and front court for that matter, when you're going against an elite young, hungry team, you got to have your big dogs playing in the playoffs. And this was the first time, you know, we saw Denver struggle without, you know, Jamal Murray and Will Barton. The second I saw the evolution of, you know, Booker, you know, he's been playing well in the regular season, but he's taking his game to another level this postseason. And the leadership of Chris Paul obviously plays a big, big part of that. But Devin Booker has taken his game to the next level. And, you know, with Chris Paul's leadership and DeAndre Ayton and Miles Bridges and the whole complete team, the Suns bench is lethal. Like, I never thought I was, you know, say that. But, like, you know, Cameron Payne and those boys coming off the bench, like, they're a complete squad. They're a complete team. And, you know, so, you know, Denver had their hands full. Obviously, the Joker deserved to win MVP, and I still believe he was probably the best player individually in the series. But the combination of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and then Miles Bridges and the rest of the squad, it was just too much without having Jamal Murray and Will Barton out there. It's too much. It was just too much for him.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think the Nuggets at full strength, you know, they could be better than the Suns. They could be a NBA champion. I mean, they have a roster. We saw it last playoffs, the stuff that Jamal Murray can do. Will Barton, like you said, he's a scorer. It's unfortunate because I think they were robbed of an opportunity maybe to make a title run because the MVP was there and they had the pieces around him, especially after that Aaron Gordon trade.
Right, but I don't want to. I still want to give credit to the Suns, though, because no one expected the Suns to be in this position. Even though, you know, the Lakers were, you know, banged up a little bit, but the Suns have performed, man, at high level. You know, Crowder and all of those guys, man, they performed at a high level. Coach Monty Williams deserves a lot of credit, man, getting his team ready to play. And I think it may be time to, you know, really see them as real contenders. I think so. I believe whoever they play, whether it's Utah or the Clippers, I believe the Suns have a legitimate chance.
All right, so great transition there. Let's talk about Jazz and Clippers. So it was 2-0 Jazz. We went back to L.A. The Clippers got game three. Game four is tonight. We're recording this ahead of that. So, you know, Clippers won on their home court, and it's back to 2-2, and it's a best-of-three series. What have you seen, and what do you think? I think last week you took the Clippers in the series, so you might be sticking with them as they're starting to fight back.
Yeah, I picked the Clippers to win a close series. Obviously, Utah is a tough out for anyone. I didn't know Donovan Mitchell would come back, you know, this ready. Because normally, when a guy is out for a while, you know, it takes him a little bit of time to get the legs back. But clearly, his legs are back because he's playing at a high elite level, and so I think they're going to go back and forth. I think this will be a long series, but I believe the longer this series goes, I believe in Kawhi Leonard. I believe he's the ultimate finisher in this series. He's a champion, and I believe that, you know, I think he's going to, you know, kind of pull the Clippers through. And, you know, Ty Lue's experience, he's never going to get rattled. So no matter what situation they're in, he's always going to be that calm voice. And that's kind of why I'm picking the Clippers, but I mean, the Utah Jazz, man, Donovan Mitchell, you know, Rudy Gobert, you got Clarkson coming off the bench, you got Ingles, you know, you got Royce on the defensive end, his contributions, rebounding and doing all the little things. Utah is a tough out for anybody, and I enjoy the way they play. They played ultimate team basketball.
Yeah, they're great to watch. The ball moves around. I mean, they're great shooting the ball from outside, but they play team basketball and they play great defense. You know, everything about what they do is really, I would say, like how you want basketball to be played. They play it the right way.
Absolutely. Shout out my guy Lamar Skeeter, who's on the staff there at Utah from Dayton, Ohio. Right.
Okay. So let's move out. Let's move back out east. So Bucks and Nets, it's evened up at 2-2. Very similar to what we just talked about. It was 2-0. When we left Brooklyn, now it's 2-2. When we're heading back to Brooklyn, Milwaukee took care of business, won both games on their home floor. And we hinted on it a little bit earlier, but these injuries. And now, as actually we've been recording, they announced that Kyrie is out game five and James Harden is still going to be out game five. So Kevin's by himself. And, you know, he has good supporting cast with Joe Harris. He has Blake Griffin, but he doesn't have two of the three in his, you know, super team. What do you see going on in this series? Because this has been a wild one going from 2-2 or 2-0 to 2-2.
Yeah, this series has been like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. It's like at first you thought Brooklyn was going to sweep the Bucks. Now it's looking like the Bucks have the upper hand with the injuries. It's hard for me to see Brooklyn winning another game, you know, with this injury, honestly, even though we know anything can happen. But, you know, I can't see Brooklyn coming back from this unless KD just goes crazy, you know, and, you know, have one of those like LeBron James type performances that he used to have back, you know, in the Miami and Cleveland days. Because the Bucks are so complete and they have so many bodies that they're going to be able to throw at KD and be able to focus just on him now. Plus, you know, I believe that their offense is going to get better because they haven't shot the ball great yet, you know, not one time. You know, the Bucks were, I think, the number two three-point shooting team in the league, scoring team in the league this season. And they haven't shot the ball well yet. You know, they won a game scoring 86 points. So I believe the Bucks are going to continue to get better as the series goes on offensively. And, you know, with Kyrie and James being out, I just don't see the Nets having enough firepower.
What did you think at the end of game three? With Bruce Brown, he's caught a lot of heat for those shots that he took at the end of the game. Him being on the floor, and you spent a lot of time on the floor in key situations with superstars around you. What do you, you know, your mindset in that? I just can't imagine. You can't be deferring. If you see an open shot that you know you can make and he's practiced those shots, what do you think about that? Does he take those shots or do you feel like you have to defer to the Kevin Durant, the James or Kyrie Irving, whoever's on the floor?
Well, you have to know game and situation. Obviously, you have to have confidence in yourself, but you have to know, you know, time and situation. And unless the shot is like wide open, you kind of have to give the ball to, you know, KD in those moments. You just kind of have to know that. I know it seems kind of messed up because, you know, like you said, he works on his game every day and he practices and works on his game. And I've been in those situations sometimes where it's like, I believe I can make a play, but, you know, if Bron or D-Wade call for the rock or, you know, CB call for the rock, you know, you give it to them, you know, at the end of the game, that's, you know, that's what they get paid to do. And, I think it's an individual thing. If you're willing to live with the backlash from it, then go ahead. Have confidence. Take your shot. But just know, if you don't make it, it's going to be some backlash. And if you're willing to deal with that, you know, I would say have confidence in yourself and take those shots. But if KD's open, you got to give him the ball. Period, point blank. If he's open, you got to give him the ball at the end.
All right, so let's move to the last series in the East, the Sixers and the Hawks. It is game four tonight, coming up pretty shortly. The Sixers have a 2-1 lead. The Hawks won game one, and the Sixers have won the last two. What have you seen in that series?
Well, I think the first game, I think Philly, you know, I don't think they were intense enough defensively. You know, I think Trae Young was running wild that game. You know, and he's shown that he got next. You know, him and Luka and Donovan Mitchell and Booker, they're the new wave. They're the young up-and-coming stars. They're showing that they're ready. But I think as long as Joel Embiid is healthy, I believe Philly is too much for them. Even though they have some injuries, I think Danny Green is not playing this next game. But I believe as long as Joel Embiid is out there and he's healthy, I believe that, you know, he's just too much, you know, for the Hawks to overcome. But I'm excited about this Atlanta Hawks team, man. They very competitive bunch. Like I said, Trae Young is elite. They have shooting, they have athleticism, but Joel Embiid, too much.
you know, and Atlanta being in our division, it's been a while since there's been a competitive other team in the division when the Heat have been good. A lot of times the Southeast division, it was almost like a foregone conclusion in a lot of ways, with the Magic having struggled, with you know, the Wizards having struggled, the Hornets. It's, you know, it's been a long time since we've had to compete, and the Hawks aren't going away. I mean, they have a big decision with John Collins to keep him around, but I mean, Trey's going to continue to get good. Kevin Huerter is good. Capella, Gallinari, Bogdanovich. I mean, we're just going right down the list. Okongwu, yeah. What's his name? The guard that's hurt right now, the long guard from University of Virginia, DeAndre Hunter. I mean, they have a loaded roster.
Yeah, man, Atlanta might be the future. Yeah, it's gonna be some battles down in South Beach when Atlanta comes to town, and when you go up there to Atlanta, I'm looking forward to seeing that, and that's why, you know, this free agent period is gonna be important. Because, you know, Atlanta is trending upward, and you know Miami, we like to stay competitive every season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
All right, before we talk about our finals picks, Kyler wanted to ask a question. So Kyler, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So Norris, my question is just, what is an aspect of a team that you think goes overlooked by fans, but you think is a real key for a team to really have success and, you know, win a championship?
I believe the key, and if you pay attention to just any championship team, I believe the second unit, especially in basketball, having a elite or a very solid second unit is important, so that when one of your stars are out or resting, or when two of them are resting, that second unit can come in and increase the lead, keep the lead, or cut into the lead if their team is down. And if you look at our squad, we had a strong second unit. If you look at the Golden State teams, they had an elite second unit. They had the best second unit in the league with Sean Livingston and all those guys coming in, Andre Iguodala and, you know, Mo Spates and all those guys. They had an elite second unit. If you look at the Spurs, they had an incredible second unit, you know, with Gary Neal and Patty Mills and all of those guys. And so if you just look at any championship team in basketball, I think the fans love, you know, obviously the stars and the starters and, you know, obviously the coaches and the administrators, you know, like Pat Riley, you know, they deserve a lot of credit. But I think what goes overlooked sometimes is having an elite, strong second unit. You know, those bench players, you know, have to be ready at a moment's notice to be able to come in and, like I said, increase the lead, keep the lead, or cut into the league if the team is down.
Yeah, definitely. And you look across the seven teams that are remaining, almost all of them have deep benches that have guys that can come in that can, you know, put a dent into the lead or hold on to a lead, like you just said. And, you know, so that's evidence right there that you need depth, and especially with all these injuries that have been going on this season, unfortunately, depth is probably more important this season than any season.
Absolutely.
All right. So as we finish up these final seven teams, if you want to make your own finals bet, you can head over to Bet Online, sponsor of our show, and we want to help you guys out. So Norris, I know we've talked about this before. Are you sticking with your finals prediction and champion, or are you making any adjustments based on what you've seen?
I have to make some adjustments based off of what I've seen and based off of some injuries. I have to make some adjustments. So, right now, my finals pick right now would be I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm going to go with the Clippers. You know, I wanted to say Phoenix so bad, but I'm not ready to go there yet. So right now I'm going to say the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Clippers in the finals.
And you're going with who is your winner?
Oh, man, I can't even speak on it right now.
I mean, the people can't go to Bet Online and say, hold on, Norris is going to tell me. People need the help.
Uh, I'm going to be honest, it's hard for me to bet against Kawhi Leonard in the finals. So I would say, if I had to pick today, I would say the Clippers.
All right. And remember, we always have the right. Each week we can edit these picks just like we did this week. So we'll keep updating as we're gathering more information. So the official Norris pick brought to you by Bet Online right now is Clippers over the Bucks in the finals. I'm going to keep with my prediction of the Suns, but I think I'm going to also have to flip. But I'm going to flip. I can't do it. I'm going to flip to the Bucks. I cannot flip to the Sixers. I know I live in Philadelphia, but it pains me. I just want to wait for the day that the Sixers are knocked out. I'm hoping they lose tonight. I'm going to be in Vegas on Friday. I'd like to watch that game. It will be game six in Vegas, if possible. But I would love to see the Hawks beat them. I would love to see the Bucks beat them, the Nets beat them. Whoever the NBA wants to put against the Sixers, I will root for them to come out of the East. I can't do it, man. I've only been in Philly for a year, so I don't have any roots to the Sixers. I'm actually working 76ers summer camps this summer, a couple weeks, and I have to wear a 76ers t-shirt. It's tough, man. I'm going to wear my like Heat Culture shirt underneath to make sure it doesn't touch me, but that pains me. So I'm going to go Bucks over. I mean, I'm going to go Bucks Suns, and I'm going to go Suns over the Bucks in the finals. That's all right, guys. Bad. So we are. You like that? All right. So
it's not a bad pick.
We are going to close up shop. So I appreciate you guys coming in. If you enjoy the Believe in Miami Heat podcast, which is obviously presented to you by Bet Online, we appreciate their support and we appreciate your support. So if you can like or subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast, tonight we are on the Locker Room app, which we definitely appreciated you guys coming in for. We put out a show every week. You can get it on any of your podcast platforms. But if you like and subscribe, it definitely helps us out. It's quick and easy. Rate, review us, you know, tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what we need to work on. Hit us up on Twitter. We love having you guys around. And, you know, we're trying to work hard to give you guys great Heat content and appreciate your support. And so I'm going to throw it over to Norris to close it out. The champ, go ahead.
Shout out to the nation, Heat Nation. We want to say thank you for supporting our podcast. Make sure you come back next week for another episode of Believe in the Miami Heat. Cold-blooded, the champ, Sean, and we out!
All right, guys, thank you for coming in. We will get this up on the pod feed. It will be up tomorrow morning. So thank you, and we are out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.